Eternal, gracious, loving Father, as we gather again around the throne of grace, and O Lord, as we spend time around the open Word of God, we ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will come and grace, and Lord, open our hearts. And through the Word, minister to our hearts and feed our souls today. For Lord, we know that when we turn to the Word, we turn to the only food that will do our souls good. Do us good today. Grant our Father that we will see Him who is the Word incarnate, the one upon whom we rest and upon whom we feast, for He has told us, "This is my body, and Thou art, O Lord, the bread of life." Help us, Lord, then to partake of Thee today. Fill us, Lord, with the power of Thy Spirit, that we might have been able to minister the Word and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Our text for this morning is found in verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it is the second half of that text we want to consider today, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. From 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., the scene that has immortalized that place called Calvary was a scene of agony and blood. And all who were involved in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ knew that it would be so. For when Judas Iscariot betrayed the Son of Man for 30 pieces of silver, he knew that that handful of coins would mean the shedding of Christ's blood. For what was his testimony when he saw that he was condemned? He added to his condemnation by saying, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." And this was before Christ was crucified. And that blood was very much on the minds of the chief priests and the elders. For when they gathered up those 30 pieces of silver that had been discarded by Judas, they said, "It is not lawful for to put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And the blood of Christ was also on the mind of Pilate. For Pontius Pilate, we are told, after he had passed sentence on the Savior, took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And the people that had earlier cried and chanted those words, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, were like a pack of angry and hungry wolves closing in on their prey. And as they did so, they uttered those spine-chilling words, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Yes, blood was on their minds. Blood was in their hearts. And soon the blood of an innocent man would be upon their hands. For they would see to it that the stranger of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, would be led as a lamb to the slaughter. And so he was. All that would have passed by that place that morning would have witnessed that scene of blood. The soldiers, we are told, sat down and watched him there. They would have gazed upon a scene of blood. For his back had been opened into furrows of blood. His hands and his feet had been opened into rivers of blood. And that thorny crown had caused blood to stream down his face. And soon a sword would pierce his side to open a fountain of blood. And the prophet Zechariah saw it all. For he wrote, in that day there shall be a fountain open in the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13, verse 1. The fountain we have been singing about this morning, Zechariah prophesied many years before that on a certain day, that fountain would be opened. And that fountain was opened in Jesus Christ. And thank God we're able to sing today, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And that is exactly what John was referring to when he penned the words of our text under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. John wrote, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. There is indeed power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And as we consider these words this morning, the first thing we want to notice here is the preeminence of the blood. The words of this text draw our attention to and focus our attention upon the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It is the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Here we then notice, with regard to the preeminence of the blood, we see first of all the blood is specified. It is clear that the Lord Jesus is the only one who is capable of cleansing us from all sin. But you will have noticed that we are told here that we are cleansed by His blood. We are not cleansed, first of all, by the life of Christ. From the moment that He existed as God manifest in flesh, the Lord Jesus lived an impeccable, incorruptible, sinless, unblemished life. Every law we had ever broken, Jesus Christ in His life kept that law. Every statute we had ever transgressed, the Lord Jesus obeyed every statute. Every temptation we have ever succumbed to, Jesus Christ conquered those temptations. For He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That is why He was able to say to His disciples, as it is recorded for us in John 14, verse 30, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in Me." Satan could not claim one part of the life of Jesus Christ. Not a jot or a tittle. For the prince of this world had nothing in Christ. There we have it. A life without a trace or a taint of sin. And yet we are not cleansed from sin by His sinless life, but rather we are cleansed from our sin by His sinless blood. The blood is specified. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. If only we could have been saved from our sin through the life of Christ, then it would not have been necessary for the Lord Jesus to have gone to that cross. It would not have been necessary for Christ to have climbed that hill and there to have suffered, bled, and died alone. Then, believer, we're not saved by the life of Christ, but by the death of Christ. We're not saved by His impeccable life, but we're saved by His spotless, sinless blood. For the blood here is specified, as it is specified in other portions of Scripture, such as Leviticus 17, verse 11, "For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And in Hebrews 9, verse 22, Paul confirms it with the words, "And without shedding of blood is no remission." And even though Christ lived a sinless life, nevertheless, we are not saved by His sinless life. We are saved through the shedding of His blood. blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We're not saved by the life of Christ, and we're not saved by the love of Christ. No, it doesn't say the love of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. No, it's the blood. The blood is specified. Even though he loved us with an everlasting love, he didn't give his love to cleanse us from our sins. He gave his blood. Even though his love, as Paul declares, passeth all understanding and passeth all knowledge, it wasn't his love that cleansed us, but his blood. Even though his love knows no limit, even though his love goes deeper than the deepest sea, yet it took the shedding of his blood to cleanse us from our sins. If only it was possible. If only it was possible for the Lord Jesus to love away our sin, then there would have been no need for that fountain to have been opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. If only love alone could have lifted us out of the mire, then the cross would not have been needed. But it's not his life, and it's not his love that cleanseth us from all sin, but his blood. The blood is specified as the only remedy for sin. Love alone would not suffice to cleanse us from sin. When he poured out his blood, yes, he poured it out in love. Every drop of it was bathed in love. He loved us. He loved us and gave himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God. That's why he gave himself. That's why he shed his blood. Because he loved us. But he could not love us out of our sin. He must shed his blood. Blood must be shed if we were to be cleansed from all sin. The word shed means to pour out. He shed his blood. He poured out his blood. He poured out his life's blood that he might wash us from our sins. But it wasn't his life, and it wasn't his love alone. Neither was it his language that saved us and cleansed us from all our sins. Think of the power of the language of the word of our Savior. Think of the power that is in the Word of God. Think of the power that is in the love of God. Think of the power that is in the life of God. For when the Lord spoke, he brought the worlds, the planets, the galaxies into being. Such was the power of his language. Such was the power of his word. He spoke and it was done. He created the sun to rule the day. He created the moon to rule the night. He clothed the fields with grass. He made the stars, placed them in the sky, and called everyone by name. For Moses, he divided the waters of the Red Sea. For Hezekiah, he put the sun back 10 degrees. For Elijah, he sent fire from heaven. For Mary and Martha, he called Lazarus from the dead. For blind Bartimaeus, he removed the scales and gave him his sight. When it came to the removal of our sins, he did not command the legions of sin to depart. No, he must pour out his blood. He must give his blood if our sins were to be washed away and our souls were to be saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not his life, not his love, not his language, but his blood. He must pour out his blood for our souls to be saved. And John tells us it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So the blood is specified. And then we notice also the blood is sufficient. John declares, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Therefore, the blood is sufficient. It's not the blood and the sacraments, it's the blood alone. It's not the blood and church membership, it's the blood alone. It's not the blood and our good works, it's the blood alone. Blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Even though the Old Testament to very many people is a great slaughterhouse strewn with the blood and the bones and the hoofs and the horns of slaughtered animals, yet not one sacrifice placed upon a Jewish altar could succeed in removing one sin. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. For all the blood that was shed in the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices simply pointed to the offering up of God's dear Son, that great sacrifice that would fulfill all the Old Testament sacrifices and shadows. For only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. We thank God for the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sacrifices were offered for sin. Sacrifices were multiplied. The dedication of the temple, We read that Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. My, what blood must have flowed. Rivers and rivers and rivers of blood. 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. And yet not one sin was removed from those who gathered in the temple that day to worship. The blood of the oxen and the blood of the sheep was not sufficient to cleanse away man's sin. It needed blood of a nobler name. It needed blood of greater power and sufficiency. It needed the blood of Jesus Christ. As Paul has said, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. Never. So a superior sacrifice was required. Superior blood needed to be shed. Indeed it was. For the blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins was superior blood. It was sinless blood. It was spotless blood. It was the only blood that could wash away our sins. The blood of Emmanuel, the blood of the Almighty, all-powerful, all-sufficient, the blood of God's dear Son cleanseth us. The blood alone. Once again, oh precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount. No other fount I know. Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. The blood is specified. The blood is sufficient. Then the blood is shed. That, of course, is what John is speaking about here. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Not blood that was shed accidentally, but purposely and personally by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember what He said to His disciples? When at the Last Supper He took the cup and said, "For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26, verse 28. "This is My blood which is shed for the remission of sins." As we've already pointed out, the word shed means poured out. "This is My blood that is poured out for the remission of sins." I shed My blood, I poured out My blood, that your sins might be washed away. The blood is specified. And only the blood of Christ would do. Then Jesus Christ must be crucified. He must be put to death and have His blood shed. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. So we have the preeminence of the blood. Secondly, we have the preciousness of the blood. The preeminence of the blood, nothing else is mentioned here but the blood and the blood alone. Then it is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes it precious. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that's what makes it precious. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. That's what makes it precious. Even as Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Does this not remind us then of the awful nature of sin? How terrible, how dark, how awful, how horrible is our sin. When, for our souls to be saved and to be washed from sin, it required God to give His own Son to die and to shed His blood that our sins might be washed away. It needed the Son of God to come. That's how great our sin is. Nothing but the blood of deity could have made atonement for human sin. Pilate tried water, but he couldn't erase the stain of his sin. The Pharisees tried works, but they couldn't erase the awful nature of their sin. Judas tried weeping. The tears could not wash away his sin. No, nothing. But the blood of Jesus. And that is why he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God took to himself a human nature. A nature consisting of flesh and bones and blood. Pure blood. Pure blood flowed through his veins. Blood that must be shed if our souls were to be saved and our sins were to be cleansed. Our souls were to be cleansed and our sins all removed. There was none other good enough. Take away our sin. He alone could open heaven's gates. He alone could let us in. So he who is God over all, blessed forever, yields that blood of his sinless human nature to cleanse his people from all their sins. What a wonder this is. What a marvel we have here before us, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would become man in order that he might give his blood for our sins. Couldn't be done in heaven. Even though he was there with the Father from the beginning, he had to come because the shedding of blood was demanded. Blood was specified. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Who was going to shed the blood? Only Christ. There was none other good enough. Had to be God's Son. And in order that He might shed His blood for the remission of our sins, He had to take upon Himself form of a man. He clothed in human flesh, with blood flowing through His veins. He had to do that if you and I were to be saved, if His church were to be lifted out of the mire. That's why He came. That's why John is able to say, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So was the blood of the Son, and also the blood of the substitute. For when Christ died, He died not for His own sins, of course, but for the sins of His church. He died for the sins of His people. Did He not say, "This is My blood, which is shed for you. I shed it for you." Being the blood of our substitute, it was shed voluntarily. Bless the wonderful, adorable name of the Lord Jesus. Christ was not driven to Calvary. He was not forced to go to Calvary. He volunteered. Jesus Christ, God's Son, said, "Here am I, send me." No angel, no seraph, no cherub, no man was able to go to that place of suffering and that place of sacrifice. None, none but Jesus. Christ volunteered. So He shed His blood voluntarily. He shed His blood vicariously. Because the blood was shed for us. Paul tells us Christ died for the ungodly. And he goes on to say, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The word "for" means instead of, taking the place of. And the blood was needed to wash away our sins. Jesus Christ shed His blood to wash away our sins. He died in our place. He died instead of us. He suffered instead of us. He was put to an open shame instead of us. He was tortured instead of us. He was crucified instead of us. He died vicariously. And this blood flowed through the veins of our substitute. That blood was shed viciously. Can a death be found that is more vicious and painful and agonizing than death by crucifixion? Yet for Christ our substitute to shed the blood that would cleanse us from all sin, He must die the death. Death by crucifixion. For He said, John 3 verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And as the serpent was lifted up there on a pole, so Christ was lifted up on a tree, suspended between heaven and earth. Oh dear hearer this morning, consider with us this great price that Jesus paid in order that you and I could be saved from all our sins. For it is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin. That brings me to our final point. We have here the power of the blood. Yes, the Lord Jesus shed His blood as the Son of God. It was the blood of the Son, and it was the blood of the substitute, and it was the blood of our Savior. It was the blood of our Savior. Only Christ, through the shedding of His blood, could be our Savior. Our Savior was not found in ourselves or found in a church. Found in Christ. Only Christ could remove all our sins. When Jeroboam fought against Abijah, he faced him with an army of 800,000 chosen men. 800,000 mighty men of valor. And let us suppose for a moment that every man in Jeroboam's army represented one of our sins. How could we ever conquer that army single-handedly? Couldn't be done. But the army of our sins that rose up against us and would have condemned us and damned us to the lowest hell, Jesus Christ, through the shedding of His blood, conquered the whole army of our sins. At that place called Calvary. And that's why John is able to say, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's the power of His blood. Notice, cleansing by the blood is certain. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. Doesn't say maybe we'll cleanse, or we'll cleanse some of our sins, or part of our sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, that's certain. And what though the accuser roar of evils I have done, I know them all. I know 10,000 more. That Jehovah findeth none, because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth. That's certain. Certain. Isn't it good to know that with certainty our sins have all been washed away? Oh yes, the devil will bring up those past sins. He'll bring them up again and again and again and again. Here's the answer to hell and the devil and the legion of demons. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the answer. Cleansing by the blood is certain. Cleansing by the blood is complete. Yes, all sin. Complete, the whole host of horrible, heinous sins have all been put beneath the blood, washed away by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Completely. The cleansing by the blood is continuous. Not only certain, not only complete, but continuous. Because the word cleanseth is in the perfect tense and simply means the blood goes on cleansing. That's why we're able to say from the moment we bowed the knee at Calvary and accepted Christ into our hearts, we're able to say, I was saved then on a certain date. I've been saved ever since. I'm saved today, and I'll be saved tomorrow, because the blood of Jesus Christ goes on cleansing. Will cleanse us and go on cleansing until the river rolls its waters at our feet. And at that moment we shall be then. For our God. And it's all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God there's power in the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed.